I'm not going to do that, and I've never done this before. It's just some simple little thoughts that I've been trying to hook up. Now, I tell you what, you be my teachers this evening. You help me hook this thing up. I've been meditating in recent weeks on the priest-son connection. Priest-son connection. Priest-son. Priest-son. Turn over to Exodus chapter... Since I have well prepared this evening for the last 30 seconds, you've got to help me find these now. But it's Exodus chapter 28, I believe. Yes, it is. And remember, two words, priest, son. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons. From among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Now, I'm just, again, because I would normally write these down, but let's just kind of flip through a little bit and see if my eye catches something else to make my point. Yes, in chapter 28, verse 40, chapter 28, verse 40, and for Aaron's sons, for Aaron's sons, chapter 28, verse 41, Aaron thy brother and his sons, verse 43, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons. Chapter 29, I see another one in verse 4, and Aaron and his sons. What's happening here? Priest-son connection. Remember, that's kind of what we're looking at this evening. Chapter 29, verse 9, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Verse 15, thou shalt also take one ram and Aaron and his sons. Verse 19, thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Verse 20, thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and the tip of the right ear of his sons. Now, there was a whole little nest of them there together. Now, I did not count them, but a couple of weeks ago when I first had this thought, I got my concordance, started flipping through Exodus and Leviticus. I was amazed at how many times the priest-son connection is made. Aaron and his sons, Aaron and his sons, Aaron and his sons, Aaron and his sons. Dozen times or more. Aaron and his sons. Now, the Word of God doesn't waste words. Why is this? Aaron and his sons. Well, that was really, really beginning to work in me. And usually that's the way the Lord works when He wants to teach me something. Pay attention. But I wasn't paying attention. I couldn't hook it up. But you know, the Lord knew that I was going to read this article in the Richmond Times-Dispatch. And you may have seen it. You may have seen it. And I said, that's it. That's it. Okay now, Lord, I think I'm beginning to get the message. Did you see that article? And then within the next couple of days, I saw a piece on the tube. There are living today in the world, on this terra firma on which we are standing, probably millions of Aaron's sons. Did you know that? I really never really thought about it. Now, I'm not talking about rabbis. I'm talking about priests. Aaron's sons. And they all say that. Now, can you believe these guys? Well, let me tell you what was done. Again, is this ringing a bell? Did you see this? You did? Were you as amazed as I? I'm astounded. Okay, now help me out because my memory gets a little fuzzy. They have taken a representative sample of these priests, not rabbis now, priests, wherever they are on earth, Africa, Eastern Europe, the United States, Russia, a representative sample of these millions of priests, and they've run DNA testing on them. Am I okay so far? Do you know what they found? They're all related. No fakes so far. They're all related. And you know how they, and they all have one common ancestor that goes back about 3,000 years. How about that? DNA testing. Somehow I get electrified when I see something like that hooks up the Word of God. You know how they, you know what they do? And this is just beautiful teaching. They zero in on that male chromosome, which is the Y chromosome. And if you remember your high school biology, it's the longer of the chromosomes. That's the male chromosome. And as I saw this piece on the tube, and you're seeing the computer monitor, and you see that Y chromosome, they're everyone identical with its own little signature that says, this is a son of Aaron, that has a common father with all these other millions of Aaron's sons. Okay so far? I don't want to get off the track here now. I really get excited about this stuff. And I was excited. These are all Aaron's sons that we've been reading about, and then the truth hit me. All these priests are without a job. There is no temple. And even when there was a temple, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a total sham. Further, even in the days of its zenith, its glory, the priesthood of Aaron was nothing but a type. Nothing but a shadow, and his brother Scofield calls it nothing but a pattern. A pattern of what? Well, let's see if we can figure that out. But isn't that... That just knocked my socks off. And I'm not sure I saved that article, and I think there was another one, and I did see, as I said, a piece on the tube on that, and I thought that was super sensational. But even a priesthood that's dead, they can lay claim to it. Priesthood that's dead? Don't we have priests living today? Sure we have priests living today. Where do you find them? And the fancy cathedral with this big, colorful robe on? Have you ever thought about this? The guy that wears the fancy robe, he is imitating a priesthood that is dead. Dead. You want to find the priest today? Look in the mirror. We are the priests and the sons. 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter says, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. A spiritual house. And holy priesthood. To offer up sacrifices. Now please note this carefully. A priest is to offer sacrifices, but there are no more blood sacrifices, so we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, excuse me, now if you would look at verse 9. You, says Peter, our first pope, of course you understand, our first pope, Peter, says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So we are the priests. Peter himself said so. We are holy priesthood, royal priesthood. Now, the Word of God abounds in Scriptures to establish the fact that you and I are sons of God. But a couple of them are my favorites. 1 John, turn over a couple of pages to 1 John, chapter 3. Oh, I just love this verse. I love this verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. That is just, that's just mind-boggling. Let me read that again. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And please note the language. Please note the language. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, listen to this, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. We shall be like him. Now let's see. Aaron's sons are like their 3,000-year-old father. That's pretty tough. Not for God. Not for God. By DNA, they can trace this priest back 3,000 years to Aaron. But we have a spiritual DNA that's even more powerful. We shall be like him. Now, this is so familiar, and yet every time I read it, I get a thrill. John chapter 1. This is the verse that was given to me April the 8th, 1948 at about 9:30 in the evening, when I, an unsaved church member, received the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed that I was a sinner. I believed the gospel. I accepted the fact that I was totally in sin, helpless without him, unless I became a son of God. This is the blessed portion that was given to me. He came unto his own, verse 11, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There we are. We've established ourselves as priests. This is the son link, or one of the many. Gave his power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It was made clear to me. I believe on his name. I have the authority to become a son of God. But notice the DNA line, verse 13, which were born out of blood. Why? We've got contaminated blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. Why? We have sinful flesh. Nor of the will of man, but of God. So then, you and I are today's priests. We're holy priests, we're royal priests, and we are sons. Now, these are just a couple of verses to establish that we are priests and we are sons. But there's a more important connection. Priest, son. Look over in Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Now, again, these are very, very familiar passages, and we've all considered them before, but I hope we consider them in sort of a little bit of a different light this evening. We are priests. We are sons. But now we must see how these two precious words connect. Somewhere else, it's really more important. In Psalm 2, I will declare, verse 7, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me. And here is that beautiful, beautiful phrase. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Now, there's no need to go into teaching about Psalm 2 and what it's all about and so forth. You're way ahead of me on that to begin with. We know this is the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection, prophesied through this great prophetic psalm, Psalm 2. This establishes the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son. What about priest? Well, 1 Psalm 110. Again, very familiar. The Lord hath sworn. Now, every time I read this, I say exactly the same thing. Whether I read it publicly or whether I read it silently. Beloved, when it says, this is Psalm 110, verse 4. When it says, the Lord hath sworn. I mean, listen, that's strong language. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Oh, I'm overwhelmed by the language, and we should be. What is this very important statement that's going to follow to which the Lord hath sworn and not repent? It is this. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, let's see. Wait a minute. Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons. Now, if the Lord has so carefully protected by the lineage, the heritage, the priesthood of Aaron, a priesthood that's dead, what importance do we now put on the priesthood of Melchizedek? And the Lord Jesus Christ is a priest forever after this mysterious character known as Melchizedek, whose name means King of Righteousness. And who was, as you recall, Genesis 14, King of Salem. Now, there's something not right here. And yet, when it's not right, spiritually, it's just zingo. Oh, I love it. You see, a priest couldn't be a priest and a king. And yet, here is somebody who is not only a priest, but is a king. Priest, king. King of Righteousness, and he was King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Now, one of my very, very early trips into any kind of serious study of the Word of God, my dear, dear, dear friend and teacher, Lewis Norbin, now with the Lord, literally takes me by the hand and says, I want to show you something. And he turned me over to Psalm 85:10, a verse that we're all familiar with, and has been a comfort and a blessing to me since that first night in his kitchen on Chestnut Place in Danville, Virginia, when he began to show me such beautiful, beautiful things in the Word of God that I was hungry to receive. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now that's poetic language, but it's so beautiful. But you see, God has chosen poetic language in order to make truth that transcend ordinary language. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So my dear brother said, and I share with you, which you already know, but I as a young teenager who just found the Lord, it was a thrill. These divine attributes of God met together in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they just shone with glory at the cross of Calvary. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It's not possible. It's not possible for a priest of Aaron to be a king and a priest. But that one special person, because of Calvary, has earned the right to be not only our great high priest, but the coming king who will rule, both in mercy and in truth and in righteousness and in peace. So, in that precious person of the Lord Jesus, we've now established through scriptures with which we're very familiar, he is declared to be the Son. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, because of time, I'm not going to go into Melchizedek at the moment. Maybe I'll do that a little later. Because the way Melchizedek is presented to us is in itself such beautiful teaching. Just beautiful. We see Melchizedek. Let's go on over to Hebrews. We see Melchizedek, and we'll go to the first chapter of Hebrews. We see Melchizedek presented in just, what, a couple of three verses. But then he vanishes from the scope. And you don't see him again or hear of him again for 1,000 years, more or less. Another little blip. He vanishes for another 1,000 years. But beloved, when he makes another appearance, it's a beautiful, how do I want to say this, explosion. Have you ever seen a fireworks display where you have this one ball of fire going up and all of a sudden it explodes? And all these little pieces of the fireworks, beautiful. That's what I call the Melchizedek explosion in Hebrews. You see him for a while, Genesis 14, disappears. Another brief little mention, like a comet or something, disappears for another 1,000 years. Hebrews, beautiful burst of Melchizedek. And we are talking about Melchizedek, but don't forget for a moment, we're talking about the greater Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's how he communicates with us, through his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. This is another one of those verses of scripture. Very early in my Christian life, I saw that and I just couldn't stop rejoicing. And I always say the same thing when I read it or when I read it publicly. Here's the one through whom God communicates with the world, his Son. His Son. Oh, and by the way, he made the worlds. I mean, as though it was just kind of a throw-in kind of a statement. Oh, yes. Oh, and by the way, he made the worlds. But listen to the description of the priest's son, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Now, you see, what's thrilling about that is we've already been told that we're going to be like him. And here, this glorious language to describe that beautiful person, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. He not only created the worlds, and oh yes, oh by the way, he also holds them up, whom he hath by himself purged our sins. Now we're getting to what's really important in eternity. He purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful. Let's turn over to chapter 5. That's so much here. Where do we start? Well, let's just go on down to verse 5. This is all so familiar to us, I know. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. See, we've established him as the Son. But now we want to see him as priest. We've seen him as priest in prophecy, and now in a New Testament fulfillment. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Now, if there was ever any doubt about whom that prophecy concerns, this is it. This is God's divine interpretation. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Do you see how the Holy Spirit connects these two thoughts? Priest, son. Not Aaron's son, even though it was a priest. Over and over and over again, this is the Son of God. And our great high priest, not of the order of Aaron, but the order of Melchizedek. Forever. Forever. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Look at verse 10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 20, chapter 6. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. He goes on, it's a greater priesthood than Aaron's priesthood. Verse 10, for he was yet, that shows the greatness of Melchizedek, because, and I say this also, verse 9, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. That is an amazing, amazing statement. When I'm 19, I happen to run into so many people who were good for my life, and one of them was like a 16-year-old kid. His name was Staley Sorrell. He'd be about 17, I guess. I want to tell you something. Staley Sorrell started preaching when he was 12. He was a walking Bible, and I heard a liberal theologian challenge Staley on a particular point. Now, here I am, you know, a 19-year-old kid, new Christian. I don't know anything about the Scriptures except I'm hungry to learn. But I will never forget that interchange, even though I didn't understand it. But here's the 17-year-old kid saying, Dr. Johnson, I'm sorry. That's not true. And then he goes into this seventh chapter of Hebrews, and he said, Levi paid tithes in Abraham. And Levi wasn't even born yet. Do you understand what's being said here? Levi paid tithes because he was in the body of Abraham. And that DNA can be passed only from the Father. Well, he was in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Verse 21, those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that saith unto him, the Lord swear, and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Well, there are so many, 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 many beautiful examples we could use to make this connection. But let's go back. God made an important point of the connection between the priests and his sons. Repeatedly, 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 the importance of the son. Aaron's sons had sons, and he verbally communicated. And this shows the importance of family teaching. He verbally communicated to his sons, you are a priest, and the importance of the priest and the burden on the priest. And those sons had sons and so on for 3,000 years. And these priests were asked, how do you know you're a priest? They said, because my father told him. How did he know? His father told him. This is so carefully protected. For a priesthood that is dead, just imagine the importance of the priesthood to which you and I belong. We are priests and we are sons. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest and the Son of God. Oh, that is just scrumptious. Now, again, one of my favorite passages, and I quote this over and over again. So what? Well, you see, if you got to ask a question like that, then you miss the thrill. I mean, this is really, to me, thrilling stuff. But also, the thing that touches my heart, my soul, my spirit, my body, my being, is that I am declared to be a priest and declared to be a son, unworthy though I am. He made me worthy in himself by paying the penalty for my sin as he hung on the cross. Okay, but so? Here's so. Verse 14, chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. See, us priests, we've got to understand we've got a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God. You see, there's the priest-son connection again. Great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we've not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, beloved, here's the invitation. You know what this is? Us priests, we are receiving an invitation from the great high priest. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't the Word of God wonderful? And as a little course, when we used to sing as kids, isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? I heard that. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? The Son of God and our great high priests, our, who are ourselves sons of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ourselves, holy priests, royal priests. Thank you, our Father, for these moments in your word. Thank you for establishing these truths in our spirit. And we need to be refortified, and that's why we gather several times each week, and we should gather with the Lord and His Word every day to be reinforced. Because if we are sons of God, and we are, and if we are priests of God, and we are, then we should not be like these dead priests who even in the day of the Lord Jesus were corrupted, and who even today are corrupted. No longer worthy to be called priests, because the priesthood is dead. God has no further use of it. We are the new priesthood. And as the invitation is given, let us come boldly, regularly, before the throne of grace to our great high priest. We thank you for these moments in the Word and a study of your Word as saints of God together, as sons of God and priests of God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.